Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Thanks for the countdown. All right, welcome to Tomahawked, the Atlanta Braves baseball show, and we are live and ready to go on Drinking Bros Sports here. Love that the countdown was just not given to me at all, but that's okay, that's fine. I'm here with Dan Holloway, as always, and what's going on? How are you feeling?
I'm a little high. Thanks for asking. Oh, you mean about the series, yeah.
I mean, whatever.
This series is effectively over at this point. We'll see, right? I mean, this next matchup against between what I assume is going to be Spencer Strider and Aaron Nola. It's almost a toss-up in that regard. Those are two great pitchers that can strike a lot of people out, and both teams strike out a lot, so it's probably going to be a low-scoring game up until the sixth inning or so, until, you know, the Phillies' bullpen gets involved.
Someone breaks through.
You know, and it's, yeah, there will be a breakthrough sometime in the sixth or seventh, I would imagine. And, you know, the Phillies are in big trouble here because they're going to pretty much have to throw a bullpen game in game four.
No, pretty much. They literally will. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. I wanted to run down the first two games first. So for those who don't know, and you all know, Phillies and Braves knotted at one apiece after two games in Atlanta. Probably not the result we wanted, but I would say the result we expected.
This is a game
reversed.
Well, game one is exactly what I expected to happen, which is a little dust, or rust rather, on the Braves. The Phillies are coming off a big win. They're emotional. They're feeling locked in, and they were until, you know, the Braves bullpen got involved and got their wits about them. Since I guess over the last 14 innings, they've scored one run. You know what I mean? And to be honest, they didn't really get that close to scoring in game two. But in game one, yeah, the team looked really fucking, aside from Ronald Acuna, who looked pretty locked in.
Both games. And were both games multi-hit games for him?
Yeah, I think he had three hits in game one and two in game two.
Yeah.
He's looking pretty good, but everybody else looks pretty rusty. Olsen ran into one towards the back end of the game, but
There's one other guy who's,
and then Darno hit a fucking laser, too.
Darno has had big hits in both games.
Big hits, yeah. He's also struck out in big situations in both games, but turned out to our favor in the second one. But yeah, the first game was, Max Fried just didn't have his stuff.
No, and what happened to him is what always happens to him in his bad playoff games, and really in his bad games in general. If you remember his very first start of the year against the Reds,
he gave seven runs, I think.
A dumb amount of runs, all these little exit velo nightmare situations. Yeah. Same thing here. I think his ERA for the game was like 10-something, but his fielding independent pitching was 281. His expected FIP was 415, which is still a lot lower than 10, although not good. But really, I think the story of the game, even more than, because the Phillies did make good contact as well. They weren't only dinking and dunking.
Yeah, there were a couple of lasers.
But to me, the story of the game for them, for the Braves, was nine men left on base. They worked seven fucking walks, had nine hits as well, and two different bases loaded opportunities, cashed zero runs on that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the big comeback in the ninth inning, that's a big deal. But, you know, if you're down by four or five runs, really what you want to do is chip away over time. So when you do have that one big inning, it actually makes up all the distance or puts you on the other side of zero, right? So, you know, or again, it's just rust. The first seven innings of the game, they look like shit. And then the last two innings, they look pretty good.
Yeah. And a lot of those, man. So when the Braves, it was interesting because when the Braves were getting the bases loaded, it was little singles and a lot of walks, right? They weren't really making great contact against Suarez. They were chasing a lot. I remember Darnell had a strikeout in that game that pissed me off.
It was way over his head.
Yeah. Chased high. And it looked like they knew the zone, but they weren't seeing the ball well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they had a good grasp of the strike zone and what they definitely didn't want to swing at. And it seemed like Ranger Suarez, who hadn't pitched in a while, by the way, because he didn't pitch in that Cardinals series.
No, but it had only been 7 days, so he had 6 days of rest, which is more than usual for him. But his last start was at Houston on the last day of the season. He got fucking hammered.
And you know, they had clinched, so.
Yeah. Well, still, he's the one pitching, though. It's not like they had a bad lineup. He gave up 6 earned runs and 3 home runs, 2 walks. And in this game, it was unfortunate that the Braves were chasing so much early. I feel like a little bit more patience, and they would have broken through and scored a couple of runs, probably 3 or 4 runs early, because he did not have the strike zone at all.
No. I mean, and two of the – like Darno's strikeout with the bases loaded, that was ball 4.
Yeah.
I think, right? Yeah. Wasn't it a full count?
I think it was 2-2, but yeah.
Okay,
I
mean, it was definitely
He definitely didn't have the plate, and then, you know, on 3-2, Darnell gets to sit fastball and just kind of wait for it to come over the plate because he couldn't locate anything else.
Right, and then there was just a ton of pressure on Suarez to throw a fucking strike.
Yeah, it was just a poorly executed game, and whatever, you know, move on from that game.
Yeah.
With the takeaway that, you know, towards the back end.
Wasn't it very much the type, it felt like the type of game where they played great between the 20s?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, but they just couldn't punch it in. And they got a couple late scores.
I mean, and the error by Fried as well. It just looks, the guys were out of sync.
Yes. That error by Fried. And then the throw, the next batter by Swanson. That was right after that. That Olsen had the same thing, had to jump, but he got his foot down for that one.
Yeah.
It was just like, they're a little tight. Mm. And I saw the stat, I think on Reddit. Since 1999, the Braves have 2 wins in game 1 of the NLDS.
No shock there. It is what it is.
That includes last year.
Yeah. I was,
And it's infuriating, too, because there's a couple of those NLDSs where we lost game 1, where, A, that game 1 loss was annoying, like bullshit in a, like, we shouldn't have lost it way. But more than that, there's a couple of those NLDSs where we should have won. NLDS, despite losing game 1, then the 2 that immediately come to mind are that 2019 series against the Cardinals, where we blew game 4. Mm-hmm. We should have ripped off a 3-game winning streak there and then got handed like the Nats team that won the World Series. I mean, we could have won the World Series in 2019 had we not blown that DS. But the other one was 2010, the Brooks Conrad series.
He made like 4 errors,
something insane in one
game. Yeah.
And then like Chipper had gotten injured in late in the season. Prado got injured right before the series, and Billy Wagner got injured in game 1 of the series. So like rookie had only pitched like a month in the big leagues. Craig Kimbrell was closing, still electric, but not, you know, ideal to have a child out there, no matter what the stuff is, unless it's Spencer Strider. But then again, we also lost game 1 last year, and we were fine.
I expected them to lose game 1. And then in game 2, I expected this as well. They were trying to be a little bit more patient with Wheeler. But he's mostly in the zone. You know, he had pretty good success until he didn't, you know, until the 6th inning.
Man, that 5 2/3 innings was the most efficient 5 2/3 innings I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, it was good. He looked really good, and it was, third time through the order, though. That's like, even great pitchers these days are having more and more trouble the third time through the order. To be honest, that's why, what's his nuts, Ian Anderson is in AAA.
Yeah.
Because he can't get people out the third time through the order. But the real story of this game is the fucking Achilles heel for the Phillies. Their defense sucks, man.
Finally, like, reared its head. Took till game 2.
But this is the playoff when every single run matters. You can't have any mistakes like that. And Rhys Hoskins has got to know this, man. He's not a fucking rookie. This dude's a veteran. He's been around for a little while. So, like, if there's a runner on second base and you're on the infield and the ball gets hit to you, no matter what else happens, you don't let that ball get past you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't try to make a great play. You put your body in front of it and knock it down.
Especially with the way
the slowest runner of all time is on first base or is heading. You have to know what the fuck is going on in the game, man. If you know that Matt Olson is the base runner, right, or the hitter, and he's the one running to first base, he hits the ball hard towards you. You got to know as a professional athlete, a professional baseball player, to throw your body in front of it and trust that your pitcher's going to get over there before Olson, because he's definitely going to get over. If he's paying any attention, he's getting over there before Olson. And to be honest, that's a good play to make. It would require some level of skill, but Rhys Hoskins isn't a hump. He just, I don't know what the fuck happened there. That was a terrible, terrible play. And look, at the end of the day, it may not have mattered because, Kyle Wright looked great as well, just as good as Wheeler did.
Almost and, as good. I
mean, not as efficient, but look, he was getting people out. And man, then the Braves know what bullpen they have. They're very aware of it, and they use it really well. Like, there's no panic from them at all. Man, it's interesting. This is kind of a payback game, not just for the game one loss, but for the way it was lost, like the dinky hits and stuff, right. Because
we dinked right back.
Yeah.
And that's something me and Dan Regester, our resident Phillies fan, were texting last night. And one of the very interesting things about last night, aside from Wheeler somehow only needing, he had 3 innings with less than 10 pitches, like fucking crazy. But the other crazy thing about last night was, holy shit, that ball, it was impossible to hit a home run. I've never seen the air that thick at Turner Field.
Yeah.
That Harper and Ozuna, if those dudes can't muscle one out, fucking nobody can.
Yeah, that one Harper hit to center field, I'm like, oh shit, that's a home run.
Easily.
And nothing. I mean, it was close, but man, that thing just died out there.
Yeah, I mean, Harris didn't trot to it.
Yeah.
But he caught it comfortably.
Yeah.
Well, and Ozuna, same way. I mean, Schwarber was like, what, a foot away from the wall on the track? Any other night, that is 5 rows up.
Yeah.
Harris, same thing that Schwarber got in the middle of the track. Any other night, that's in the bullpen.
Yeah.
The only person who had a real chance to even hit a home run was Olson, who missed it by a foot to the left. But that was in the literally the absolute shortest part of the park, I think. And that's why that 6th inning for the Braves, I loved, because, I mean, essentially, they just did what you need to do, which is, and look, in the regular season and in the postseason, the most important thing your lineup can do is make lightning strike at any time, right? Yeah. You need to be a home run threat at all times. It just puts it in your favor in terms of the pitcher pitching on his heels, the pitcher pitching more nervously, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, man, you can't totally eschew the ability to make contact.
Or the ability to work counts and play defense, right? Which is, you know, nobody thinks the Phillies are going to put together a great defense anytime soon. They're just not built for that, right? Maybe at some point, I don't know. But, you know, they did a relatively decent job of getting on base during the season. They got more walks than the Braves. They were like in the middle third for walks, and they've only walked 3 times in the series so far. Now, that might be a function of the Braves' quality of pitching. I don't know what the chase rate is in those games, but in the playoffs, man, I mean, as important as it is to be able to hit home runs these days, you can't eschew the fundamentals, like working counts, getting good pitches to hit, or if a guy's off. And the Braves didn't do it in game one until late either, because Ranger Suarez should have been out of that game after the 2nd inning because of all the, like, he was just walking people.
They should have scored maybe double-digit runs in that first game. Considering that they got 6, I mean, my God.
Yeah.
The chances they had were, it felt like watching that game, I mean, credit to Suarez for getting out of jams for sure, but, like, it just felt like, it's like, God damn it, you guys are beating yourselves. Yeah. What the fuck are you swinging at? And I hope a lot of the function of that was, A, just playing a little tight game one, and B, the layoff.
I'm sure it was probably a combination of both of those things, But it's like, man, the Phillies went from, in the wild card, they looked like a super confident and competent team. And in game one, I mean, their pitching has looked good in both games, to be honest, except for a little bit, right? But, like, towards the end of game one, even Wheeler's issues, frankly, like, the Olson hit should have at worst been an infield single without a run scoring, and
you can do about Riley.
And then Riley, I mean, that's just unfortunate. Like that isn't something that you as a defense or you as a pitcher can do anything about. Right,
the exit velocity on that.
It's like 12 miles per hour. Right. Yeah, it was a dribbler. So that kind of sucks. So their pitching has been good, which we knew the front end of the rotation starting pitching is going to be pretty good. But the defense, we knew it was going to suck. What I didn't expect is to see the lack of approach that they showed in the first two games of the postseason.
I think they had good approach in game one off Fried.
In game one, the hits were like, ambushing him is the right move, yes. But against Kyle Wright, I don't know that that's the right solution, to be honest.
No, I mean, it certainly wasn't in that game. But, I mean, it felt like the Phillies did exactly what they needed to do in game one. Like, they seemed like they had a good strategy. Mm-hmm. And, they just kind of attacked Fried early, kind of, wouldn't let Fried make an establishing pitch and punished him for it. And also, played their luck. We're just like, let's just make contact and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. Because the interesting thing about Fried is, when you're shifting behind him, he gets a lot of soft contact, right? Like, that's his thing. Low exit velo. He induces bad contact. And, if you kind of plan to that a little bit, you're going to hit the ball in places you don't normally hit the ball.
Yeah.
And then you get base hits. I mean, there was two base hits where Arcia was out of position because of the shift.
Yeah, man, I'll be glad next year when that shit's gone.
I will too. Honest.
I hate it. I think it's so stupid. But they kind of game one the approach was pretty good. Game two, not so much. And it's weird. Three walks in two games. They had nine walks in two games against the Cardinals.
Yeah. No. Well, a lot of that was Helsley.
Yeah. Sure. Well, yeah, he walked two or three, right?
Yeah. Well, Helsley fucking. I mean, he was walking everybody. One thing I loved, though, with the Braves' approach in Game Two or whatever, is man, you could tell Darno was going to get Wheeler.
Yeah,
the only real hit off of Wheeler was Darno up the middle for the third run. Mm-hmm. Darno, if you don't know, they mentioned on the broadcast last night, but he caught Wheeler in New York for the Mets for a number of years. They said he was in his wedding party, I think, or something that too. Like, they're boys. And that was the type of game between, and I know you were hating on Dansby yesterday off air before one of the shows we went on, or 2 days ago, but Dansby draws a huge fucking walk against Wheeler to keep the inning alive after Acuna gets hit by a pitch.
Yep.
Olson makes, hits the ball hard because contact matters as well. Like, look, if Wheeler's not going to make a mistake, and I've never seen somebody make fewer mistakes in a game than Wheeler, then you just got to start putting the bat on the ball and see what you can fucking
especially do. Against a shitty-ass defense like this.
Yeah. And I just felt like, because Darno in his first at-bat, I think, he just kind of bad luck. He smoked the ball right at, ironically, Rhys Hoskins. Third at-bat, right up the middle, kind of a classic base hit. I love seeing that from Darno. That's the sort of shit you want to see out of Darno and Dansby.
Yeah, for sure. Dansby's not doing that right now. He's in pull mode, and I don't know why.
I don't either. I mean, what's funny is his one hit, which was a big hit in the ninth of game one, where'd it go? Yeah. Went to right fucking field.
Yeah, he should, especially against these particular pitchers, man. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. A guy like, If you're giving up the outer third of the plate against Wheeler, you're fucked. You're not getting a hit.
Yeah.
This is not going to happen. Like, you may catch a walk if you got a good eye, but he's got one of the better sliders in the game. And it looks like a fastball on the outer third of the plate right up until the point that it's not. Like, super fucking close. And he made several dudes look bad last night, but nobody worse than Swanson.
He looked helpless until the walk. He looked helpless. Now, speaking of that inning, I have a conspiracy theory about it.
Mm-hmm.
Did Acuna milk his injury to get Wheeler out of a rhythm?
I mean, it kind of seems like it, doesn't it? Because he didn't get hit on a bone. He got hit in the forearm right here.
Yeah.
And it, well, I guess right here.
Right above the elbow.
And it was a glancing blow. Like, maybe it hit him and there was some pressure and it made his funny bone,
yeah,
you know, whatever, his hands tingling. And I guess that's something you got to stop and check out if it's tingling because you don't know if it's broken or not. But for somebody to get hit like this at this angle and the bone break, I don't think that's even possible. He clearly, every replay we saw, I was like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, why is he still standing there? Like, he got hit on the forearm muscle. Like, right. Yeah, it sucks, but stop being a bitch, dude. Run to first base.
Yeah, like, I'm sure it hurt, but rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
Don't
rub until you get home, I guess.
I was watching that whole thing, and I was just like, I don't hate that. It was like a soccer player taking a dive. You know what I mean? I was like, I'll take it because it's on my team, but I feel like he knows exactly what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
It just felt like, and dude, after Wheeler hit him, he was not the same.
Mm.
Literally lost as much control as Wheeler could lose of the zone. And, you know what? So he hits Acuna, and then what is it? Walk single, single. No, walk single, single, single.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Riley single is you put an asterisk on it because it's just bad luck. But yeah. All I could think sitting there was, I think Ronnie knows exactly what he's doing.
It certainly seems like it, yeah. And the interesting thing about all this is the series is back 1-1, and I think the Phillies are kind of fucked at this point. Although we'll see, right? So the Braves. One of the big keys for success for them throughout the year, and frankly last year as well to some degree, has been the 7, 8, 9 hitters. And so far in this series, they have not done shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's only been two games.
It's been a lesser version of our 7, 8, 9, especially yesterday.
Yesterday for sure. But before it was, you know, I expect when Harris is in there, he's getting work done. But The lineup top to bottom has not performed yet in this series.
Not to its capabilities at all.
When that starts happening, I assume it will at some point, then it's going to become extremely problematic for the Phillies. But that's not really the problem right now. The problem right now is they have Aaron Nola going in game 3 and then question marks for the rest of the series.
Yeah, so let's start with game 3.
For some unknown reason, they pitched Noah Syndergaard last night for one inning.
And I don't think they think he can start.
Maybe not, but if he can't start, or maybe he's an opener at some point, I don't know. But they don't really have many other options. I mean, the other guy, Falter, that they have that's pitched against the Braves before has gotten absolutely destroyed by them.
I think Kyle Gibson might be an option as well.
Yeah, maybe, but that's going to be an opener too, right? He's not going to make it more than 2 or 3 innings at the most.
No, it is a full-on bullpen game.
Well, like, their bullpen's not good.
That's what they have to do. It's all they have. It's not like Atlanta last year where they brought, or 2 years ago even, where they brought up prospects, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had, in 2020, we had Anderson and Wright going games, 2 and 3?
Yeah.
And then, which is insane. And then last year we had...
Well, technically Wright was a reliever, I think, right?
No, he started.
He came in a game or in any second inning. Oh, no, that was last year.
Last year he relieved. Yeah. He's there because we had Dylan Lee opened in the World Series, something like that. I don't know who starts game 4 for them. But let's start with game 3, looking ahead to that. Who would you rather see start this game for the Braves, Morton or Strider?
To be honest, I kind of want Morton to start and Strider to relieve in this game. That's how I would try to do that.
Then who would you have pitch game 4?
Odorizzi, probably, I guess. I mean, it's not optimal, but I don't think, who's he going against? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be Ranger Suarez again on 3 days rest? Because he couldn't get the job done the first time. So I think anybody that you throw out there, Odorizzi is probably going to be better than him, frankly.
I mean, but do you want to... You wouldn't give Morton the whole game?
Sure, yeah, if he can make it the whole game.
But Morton, when I say the whole game, I mean like 4 to 5 innings and then the bullpen.
I mean, honestly, If you can lock down a 2-1 lead like that, I think you take the opportunity to do it and give your bullpen, your generalized bullpen, a little bit of a break. I think that would be a smart move. I mean, look, hopefully what happens is they get up big early, but it's Aaron Nola, so who knows, right? I mean, last time he pitched against us, I think we scored 6 runs.
So the last time he pitched against us, he shut us out, I think. The 3 times before that, he gave up 4-plus earned runs.
Yeah, that's right. 6 innings scoreless, but a lot left on base by us.
That's right.
7 left on base. 4 runs before that.
I think it was 4-5-4 in the last 3 in those 3 starts.
Yeah, so I mean, who knows? Hopefully it'll be one of those. His career in the postseason is just the 1 game so far. But he did pitch extremely well against the Cardinals. So
right, and the Cardinals have a good lineup. Although, I didn't really pay attention to the Cardinals that much down the stretch. But my family was in town during that series, and we were watching the games, and they were complaining that I guess basically all of September, Goldschmidt and Arenado had been ice cold.
Yeah,
and I guess it bled over to the only 2 games they played in October. And then obviously Pujols unfortunately didn't get to do anything, and Molina, it's nice for him to get one last lap around the league, but he was a fucking corpse.
Yeah, he was definitely dragging ass. But yeah, I honestly think if you got the opportunity in game three to lock it down and avoid having to use Mentor, Iglesias, and Jansen, then you take that opportunity and you let Strider close it out if it's a close ish game, and then in game 4, you throw Odorizzi, and you if he can make it through 4 or 5 innings, now you have your full-strength bullpen to close that game out. I think that makes more strategic sense. And you have 2 opportunities for that, too. You have games 4 and 5 if you're able to lock in game 3.
Yeah. I think what's interesting for me about game 3 is it's much more of a must-win for the Phillies than it is for the Braves.
Sure.
Every playoff game is a must-win game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not – if you're up 3-0, I guess – you can say, all right, whatever. But even 3-1, I'm not fucking with that.
No.
Foot on neck.
Yep.
And press down.
Yeah, obviously, but that's, a problem for the Phillies because they don't have a foot left after game 3.
Right. They can trot, Wheeler back out for game 5?
No. How would you?
Would it be Suarez for game 5?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it would be Suarez on 3 days rest in game 5. Wheeler would be 2 days rest. Because game 5 is on the 16th, right?
So
4 days rest for Suarez.
Yeah. So Suarez would be on normal-ish rest. Yeah. Wheeler would be on 3, right?
Well, normal. It's short rest.
Yeah. He'd be on short.
Yeah.
Which
is something he probably hasn't done before.
They might just honestly go Wheeler on 3 if we go to 5.
I mean, if you go to game 5 and it's away, you probably have Wheeler and Suarez available for that one, I would imagine, right? Because there's no tomorrow at that point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For game 3, I'll probably support the decision either way, Morton or Strider to start. I don't think you can go wrong with that. I don't necessarily want to see Odorizzi start a game. I think Odorizzi is the safety valve for Strider. So I think I would probably rather see Strider game 3 with Odorizzi ready to jump in, because I trust Charlie Morton in a must-win game 4. Mm. So I want, if we lose game 2, it's, or game 3, it's game 4 is an absolute, we're eliminated otherwise. Yeah. So I trust Morton in that. I mean, not that I wouldn't trust Strider in a must-win game because he's a fucking animal, but I say Strider's been the better pitcher this year, obviously, by quite a bit. Foot on neck. Just send Strider out there, fucking demoralize that home crowd by blowing away hitter after hitter.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, he doesn't look right early. You put Odorizzi in there after 2 innings if he's, not feeling the zone or whatever. And, you fight through that game and get to game four. Hopefully you win game 3. You try to clinch with Morton game 4 or try to push it back and then you get freed again in game 5. But I'm good either way, but I think I lean Strider for game 3 because for the previously stated reasons. I have a good feeling about facing Nola though. And if anything else, if nothing else, because it literally cannot get worse than what Wheeler did to us in game two.
Yeah, and they have very similar styles too. So we've saw that for six innings now, pretty recently. Yeah, I mean, Strider would be the aggressive move. And that's what I've been begging for from this organization. Well, not the organization, but from Brian Snicker specifically. Be aggressive with your pitching. It would be great if he did that, yeah. I'm not sure how they're going to play it. I mean, look, if you, again, I'm thinking of Morton's history in the playoffs has been 4 to 5 innings. Right? Mm-hmm. Strider, frankly, is so goddamn dominant that if he's on that day, I could see him. He might be the only pitcher in this entire, other than Castillo, to go more than 7 innings, right? Because when he gets on a roll like that, as long as his pitch count doesn't get too crazy.
His pitch count doesn't get crazy.
He
or
throws 100 so effortlessly. It's ridiculous.
I doubt they leave him in past 6 if it's like 1-0, 2-0.
Maybe not. Yeah, the numbers third time through the order for everybody are it, like, I don't know, actually. Let me look and see what his are. Some people, there's the occasional dude who actually gets better as they go on, but I'm not sure if he's one of them.
I mean, regardless, it's just the type of thing where, right, like, he's certainly going to get, not certainly, but probably going to get more inefficient as the game goes on. I mean, maybe all he has to do is pump strikes. It's not like he has a bunch of different pitches, right?
Yeah. But he's a little bit worse the third time through the order. The second time, he's actually a little bit better, which is interesting. But the third time, he loses a little bit. So, yeah, they may pull him out. I mean, if you can go, again, I'll apply that same logic from before. If you can go, if he can get 6 clean innings, and then you can go Mentor, Iglesias, Jansen, in whatever order they decide and lock that game in, I do that too, and then I worry about 4 and 5.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get 6, we're good to fucking go. And then who's the other dude out of the bullpen? I'm like totally blanking today.
For the Braves?
Yeah.
Colin McHugh?
Yeah, McHugh. Yeah. That's the other one. Yeah.
Yeah, he's certainly going to be available. And yeah. I think Oda Rizzi will be available tomorrow as well.
Yes. Absolutely. I think if they play Strider and Strider goes, I don't know, 4 2/3, and then, you know, they're just, maybe there's like a little bit of a jam, you probably see McHugh for an inning and a half, inning and a third, whatever, yeah. And then you go to that back end, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, I forgot to say this about the game two thing. I was about to lose my fucking mind on that Darno call at the end of the game.
Yeah, there have been a lot of bad calls, and not just in this series, but this postseason. Like I think it's actually worse with the Dodgers and Padres. We'll get to that later. Yeah, that call was irritating.
And the main thing that pissed me off, aside from the fact that it was the wrong call, is that I was like, dude, every second longer that this review takes, Jansen is going to be worse.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sitting there with circus music going through his head the whole time. But yeah, that wasn't even close. And they reviewed it and still didn't get it right. I don't understand that. Like, there's no evidence that the ball ever hit the net.
And from where it came back down, how could it have?
Yeah, like you. So I don't think they understand how physics works, maybe, because you could look. It doesn't matter. Like, I understand they don't have a top-down look over the screen like that, and maybe they should. But
they should now if they're going to make calls like that.
Yeah, you can see. It's not just about the direction of travel of the baseball from one camera angle to another. It's also the rotation of the ball, the rotation of you. And you can tell because there's seams on it, right?
Right.
You can tell how the ball is rotating and if it gets changed by running into something. Like, this should have been a pretty easy call to make. Unfortunately, it wasn't. I mean, that was pretty bad.
And by the way, what happened as soon as that review was over, Kenley Jansen gets Bryce Harper out, but wait. He didn't throw a single fucking ball in the strike zone.
No, he did not. Harper was definitely a little too amped up in that at bat.
Do you think he was amped up or just kind of checked out?
Could have been the latter. Yeah, I don't know.
He's very Acuna-esque in that way. You know what I mean? Like, he'll lock the fuck in, but he's not going to hustle when he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was just like, all right, we lost. Let's get back to Philly. But man, I was just sitting there like, ball. Ball, ball. I mean, even the fucking ball that Harper struck out on was like a foot over the top of the strike zone.
Yeah.
Like, just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was not good. But that's it for the Braves and Phillies. We'll see how the rest of that series plays out. I mean, they're in a little bit of trouble now, but the other series that are going on, there's the Mariners and Astros are playing right now, and man, I haven't seen a more exciting end to a game than Jordan Alvarez wrecking that ball in a long ass time. Holy shit. And he hit another one today to take the lead as well, and that might stand up because they're in the fucking top of the eighth now. But yeah, they brought in Robbie Ray to face Jordan Alvarez, and I don't know how much experience Ray has out of the bullpen like this. He's also not exactly a lefty specialist. He just happens to be left-handed. And
right.
What makes you think that Jordan Alvarez, who, by the way, is one of the best hitters in baseball, is going to be affected by that? A lot of people have made mistakes like this over the years, like letting Josh Hader pitch to Freddie Freeman last year. From an institutional knowledge sense, maybe that makes sense to go lefty-lefty like that, but Freddie Freeman doesn't give a shit about left-handed pitching.
No.
That's not how he is, and Jordan Alvarez doesn't give a fuck.
And was
in especially if you throw a fastball down the gut.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter what fucking hand it's coming out of if you do that. So this year, versus left-handers, he hit .321. Alvarez did with a .183 WRC+.
So 20 points higher than he did against right-handers. Because he had .299 against
right-handers. Oh, I'm sorry. So versus lefties.
Yeah.
He hit 22
points higher against lefties.
Yes, but he had a higher WRC plus against righties. So I think he just got on base more. But he had
10 home runs. He had, he was a little bit more power against lefties, too. Honestly, I would have walked him in that scenario.
I just hate walking the bases loaded.
I know, but fucking, it's when a guy's hot like that, you don't fuck around, man.
Yeah. And
especially now with Alex Bregman behind him, who has not looked good so far. I know he hit a home run in the eighth, the inning prior to that. But that was the only good at bat he's had this entire postseason, to be honest, in my opinion.
Right.
But what are we going to do?
Man, that's been a great series. I was watching the Dodgers-Padres last night. Kershaw, once again, doesn't get a win.
It's a fucking mystery, man.
Didn't pitch badly, 3 runs in 5 innings, whatever. Yeah. That's fine. It's not the best, but you know, you're not going to complain about it.
Even in game one of that series, I just don't... The Padres, this is why I'm not afraid of either one of these two teams, of the Dodgers or the Padres. The Padres' starting pitching depth is 2.
Mm-hmm.
And but their bullpen is really good.
Bullpen has retired the last like 18 in a row.
So they've got a pretty decent chance of winning the series, in my opinion. If they can win game 3, I think they're going to win this series. But the Dodgers have starting pitching that is not that great, frankly. Like Kershaw just can't do it in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know what his deal is. And even Urias in game 1 gave up 3 runs. You know what I mean? That might sound okay in a regular season. No, it's not that bad. Not that bad doesn't cut it in the fucking in the playoffs, man. If you give up 3 runs against the Braves, there's no guarantee you're gonna fucking win a single game.
Because
you may not score over 1 or 2 runs in any of the games. And the worst part of this is the Dodgers bullpen fucking stinks. They don't have a clearly defined closer. And I know we kind of didn't last year, but we had 3 dudes that definitely could do it.
Yes.
Right? They don't have a clearly defined closer, and their middle to late relief has been bad. Blake Trinan has been getting lit the fuck up. Gratterall's been getting lit the fuck up.
Is Trinan even playing?
Yeah, he gave up a tater last night to Cronenworth. He had an absolute missile off of that dude.
He had been out for a while, so I didn't realize he was back.
Yeah, he's back. He just hung one on the inside corner, and Cronenworth hit it 1,000 feet. Yeah, but Gratterall's not looked good. He's not been sharp.
I'm certainly rooting for the Padres. I would rather play the Padres.
It's interesting because what if we play the Padres and annihilate Josh Hader again and make him the reason they lose that series? Like 2 years in a row with 2 different teams, this motherfucker's going to feel stalked by the Braves. Because Freddie Freeman ended his life.
I wonder why. That'll be fun to watch Freeman face him again in this DS.
I don't know if they've faced up yet, but Freddie Freeman's, looked pretty decent.
Yeah, let off the game, but hit a solo shot in the first inning. He's doing Freddy
stuff. I'm a little surprised they have him, that they're going Betts, Turner, Freeman. I don't understand why they're not going right, left, right, to be honest. I guess maybe because Freddy doesn't care about left-handed pitching at all.
Yeah, I mean, not really.
But yeah, this team, Cody Bellinger can't swing a bat anymore, but he still plays great defense.
He had an incredible catch last night.
Oh, speaking of incredible catches, there were two for the Braves. We didn't even talk about that last night. One was an over-the-shoulder catch by Dansby Swanson, which is a difficult play to make, and he made it look relatively easy. But the one that Riley made...
insane.
...was it's over-the-shoulder falling down into the net, into the tarp, and it wasn't like... he didn't bobble it or anything. It was a really nice play.
And, like, dude, you just can't say enough. I mean, in the playoffs, it's just so funny watching baseball become, like, almost a different sport.
Mm.
And that's the type of thing where if Riley makes it in the regular season, you're like, oh, dope. But if he doesn't, you're like, well, it was a tough catch.
Yeah.
But, man, when you just steal outs like that, like, outs are a finite resource.
Yep.
You only have fucking 27 of them. Stealing outs like that. Like Riley did, and Dansby did, like just stopping innings. Riley's was the second out, I think. Dansby's was the third. But just shortening innings, stopping innings, which is why I was freaking out about them fucking up that Darno call.
Yeah.
It was, even though it was two outs in the ninth.
You don't want to tempt fate like that.
Absolutely fucking not. That's the shit you want to see. And both those catches were incredible. Hopefully that continues. I'm waiting for Mike to make some bananas catch. And that's why, by the way, in game one, that Castellanos catch was so huge in the ninth.
Honestly,
Robin Dansby, I think, right? Yeah,
that probably saved the game for them because just the way the momentum was going at that point, they were fucked.
It very well could have saved the game. I mean, they were at that point, it was one run game, correct?
Yep.
That's huge. That's fucking huge. You never know what's going to happen. Was Dansby hitting second?
Yep.
So Olson was up next.
Olson and then Riley, yeah.
Yeah.
With one out. There would have been a runner on first with one out, and Olson was coming up, and he had just hit a goddamn, I mean, in that inning, right? Or was it the eighth? He just hit a fucking massive home run.
Maybe Castellanos robbed somebody else, and I'm just... Yeah, Olson. And then Castellanos robbed the next hitter, I think.
Well, that would have been what, Riley?
Yeah, so he robbed Riley, I guess. Regardless, though, a runner on, you know, their rallies come from nothing in the playoffs. Yeah. So huge play. Credit to Philly's defense there. I'm not saying that saved the game because, you know, they probably won it anyway, but
maybe that was it was a one run game. There was one out at that point and he makes that catch.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if he dives and misses it, it's probably two bases. You know what I mean? Now you're close.
Yeah.
And then there's the Yankees. Obviously Aaron Judge looked lost in game one, but they still managed. I mean, that home run Rizzo hit was a fucking tater. Jesus Christ, he hit that ball hard. Off Quantrill, he gave up two. Indians looked pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I thought they played good team baseball. The pitching was relatively good. Quantrill got tatted up a couple times, but it's Yankee Stadium, right? And Gerrit Cole just happened to be Gerrit Cole that evening.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, you just got to eat that one. Game two is going to be pretty interesting, though. I mean,
got rained out today.
Yeah, it got rained out today, but we'll see it tomorrow. And it's, you know, it's going to be a different ball game. Nestor Cortez is going to go. He's not been good down the stretch. Maybe he'll get his shit back together now that it's what did he throw? The last month he was good, but against, you know, nobodies for the most part.
I know Swisher, our buddy Swisher, loves the Yankees, but I just am not sold on that goddamn team. Like, I'm really, they don't strike me as a team that's like scary in the playoffs. They strike me as a team that even if they win this series, the Astros will fucking handle. Like, I just don't like the depth. I don't know. I don't like that. I don't buy them.
The pitching isn't great either.
And yeah.
Honestly, I'm not convinced that Cleveland isn't going to win this series.
I'm not either. They had to roll out their fourth starter for game one.
Yeah.
Right? Or something like that. I'm
Yeah, it's going to be a different ball game this time. I mean, let's see. Who is starting this game for Cleveland?
And now they get a little more as Bieber.
Mm. So they're going to have Bieber, McKenzie going out over the next two games against Nestor Cortez and somebody else from the Yankees.
Right.
Right.
And I know we just won a World Series with a hilarious lack of starting depth. Mm-hmm. Who are we even trotting out in the World Series again? Fucking Morton in game one, who died on the mound.
Yeah.
And then Freed in game two, Anderson game three, bullpen game in game four, bullpen game in game five.
Yeah. I believe so. And then Freed again in game six. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yep.
So you can do it.
You can do it, but you got to have the assets for it. And I'm not sure the Yankees do.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, just their bullpen is, nobody really knows what's going on down there. Clay Holmes is not who you expected to be the fucking closer at this point in the season.
And right? Not that it matters because he kind of sucked, but Aroldis Chapman just kicked off the team, I guess.
I guess. I haven't seen him.
Do you hear what happened?
No.
He didn't. He would only show up to the pre-postseason workouts if he could be guaranteed a roster spot in the postseason. And the Yankees were like, we can't guarantee that. Your numbers haven't been that good. And he's like, well, I'm not coming unless you guarantee one. Then they're like, well, don't fucking come.
Wow. That's an interesting way to end your time in New York.
Yeah. And maybe career.
Yeah.
It's not really the position I would take if I was carrying domestic violence charges with
me. Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean? Like Marcelo Ozuna, I hope, shows up to the clubhouse every day and is like, thank you.
Yeah. I like how Delco is on pens and needles right now because it's a 2-2 count, two outs. In the top of the eighth, the Mariners have a runner on first, but it ain't looking good. Yeah. So he says, Raleigh. Oh, and you mean Kucinich? Or can what? How, I can't say his name. Well, I got bad news for you. It didn't work out. That inning's over now. I hate to fortune tell since you're watching on TV, but it's looking bad for the Mariners. They're about to go down 0-2 here.
The dream, at least they got one series win. By the way, the last series, the one the Phillies won, that was Bryce Harper's first postseason series win.
Mm.
So congrats to Bryce Harper for getting over that hump.
Yeah, good for him.
Speaking of Ozuna, to go back to that for a second, what'd you think about starting him yesterday?
What do you mean?
I didn't expect to see him start any games in the postseason.
No, honestly, I didn't either. I'm not. Maybe he's got good head-to-head numbers. I mean, Wheeler throws high fastballs, and Ozuna hits high fastballs.
Yeah,
and so I guess that makes sense.
To be fair, he should have had a home run off Wheeler.
Yeah, for sure.
And on a normal day, that goes out.
Yeah.
Although on a normal day, there's like four home runs in that game. I was what Ozuna, Harris. Harper and then someone else on the Phillies just missed because of the weather.
Yeah, there were a couple of big ones. I'm trying to find, so there's this here we go. this Twitter account called Ump Scorecards, and they rate every game.
Man, that guy was bad yesterday.
The guy for let's see, who was it? Usually they have his name on here. I can't remember where it is. The guy in the Chris Segal for the Padres Dodgers game.
Yeah.
Man, he called a lot of balls, strikes for the Dodgers and not any for the Padres. It was very bizarre.
Gave a half run to the Dodgers. According to, by the way, one of those strikes called a ball. The very next pitch, Max Muncy obliterated.
Yes.
Fucking murdered that pitch.
They really have been tight on the Padres in this entire thing. Actually, let me look at this last game. By the way, yeah, game one for Braves-Phillies was plus 0.4 runs for the Phillies. It was not a well-called game.
And, you know, game two wasn't great either. Obviously, Schwarber had that horrible strike three call from right.
Yeah, that was good.
I will admit, a really, really good frame job.
It was, but it was like... Three inches low, man.
Or
outside.
Yeah, rather, yeah, it was bad. But it was funny. Like, the way Darnold caught it, I just didn't see it till the replay. It hit the bottom of his glove and, like, immediately rolled up so fast that it looked like it had initially made impact with the webbing or whatever, which made it look like it was a borderline or in the strike zone.
Yeah.
It was just... And the way Darnold caught it, too, I don't know if it was on purpose. The way Darnold caught it made it look like it was a work of art. And Darno's a pretty good framer.
He's a pretty good framer, yeah. What are you going to do? You know, life is imperfect, I guess. Bad calls. But there have been a lot of bad calls. Balls and strikes so far this season.
It has not been a good postseason for the umps, man. Like, I mean, I think all the scores here are what? Like, well, okay, the one with the Mariners the other day was 96. How'd this guy get a 98 in game one for the Braves and Phillies?
I have no idea when he's when it's a plus 4.4. No, shut up. Shut up. I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. Hopefully it gets better. I don't know, you know, who is the dude even calling for us? Nick Lentz? I kind of don't know these names because all the old guys are retiring. You know what I mean? They're not old fat dudes anymore. It's all like dudes that are kind of in shape.
Well, you shouldn't ever know an umpire's name.
True.
In my opinion, as Bryce Harper would like to say, they didn't come here to watch you, asshole.
Yeah. I didn't come here to play school.
Yeah. Yeah, but tomorrow is this Houston game will be over soon, but tomorrow there's three games if the weather cooperates.
It should. I checked the Philly weather and
well, that game I'm not worried about, the Braves-Phillies. I guess in New York, they pretty much have the same general weather, right? In the tri-state area.
Yeah.
So Braves-Phillies, 3:37 p.m. Central. That's dope. That's a day-ish game, but it's not too much of a day game. So
you know what it's going to be, though?
The first three innings, the shadows are going to be pretty bad.
It's going to be a fucking shadow game.
Which is fine, because if Strider or Morton are going, I don't think that's going to be an advantage one way or the other.
No.
But
you can just, unless they're walking dudes, you can just take runs off the board.
Yeah.
Just don't fucking play the first three innings.
Yeah, you may as well just wait. But the Indians at the Yankees, that's at noon, or 1 Eastern. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yes.
Hopefully Nestor Cortes gets ejected from the game in the first inning for cheating on every single pitch and in the most pathetic way I've ever seen a human being cheat before. It's so stupid.
Which is what? His dumb delivery?
Yes. Yep. It's so fucking stupid and pathetic. I hate it, and I hate him as a person. It's just, it's so gross that somebody would do something like that. I fucking hate that shit.
It's something I used to complain about Kenley Jansen with.
I still don't like it. I think it's stupid.
He was pretty quick to the plate last night.
Yeah, it seems like that's something he's been working on. It's always a problem for him. Like in a one, to be honest, if it's a one run game, I don't feel great about him being in there because if anybody gets on base, it's a double. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If anybody, especially in the postseason where they're going to use pinch runners and shit. And then the night game is Dodgers-Padres is moving down to San Diego. That'll be interesting because Petco it's much harder to hit home runs there, and it's not easy to hit them in fucking L.A., to be honest.
No.
Especially this time of year with the fucking heavy air. So you got Gonsolin going against Blake Snell. I don't know if Gonsolin, what kind of postseason experience does he have?
He has certainly pitched in the postseason, but
usually
was he
part of the rotation last year? Let's see. He pitched in three games last year. Oh, my God. His postseason numbers are fucked. He's pitched 7 games in the postseason.
He didn't start any games last year.
His ERA in 2020 was 8.68 in 4 games, and then last year it was in 3 relief appearances 11.25.
So it looks like he was maybe an opener in 2020, or he was just really bad because he started 3 games in 2020, pitched a total of 9 innings across 4 games pitched.
Yeah, there were quite a few more bullpen games in 2020
for sure
because
they no
played
days
every
off.
Game in a row.
That's how I like to live my life.
Yeah.
No days off.
Well, we'll see what happens. He's always been really good in the regular season and whatever role he's been in. I mean, his career ERA is 2.51 with a whip of .99.
He's absolutely an excellent pitcher.
In the regular season, but so is Clayton Kershaw. He may be the most dominant regular season pitcher of all time, right? Like, we're talking about Sandy Koufax-style numbers. But in the postseason, he's not good, and we'll see, I guess, tomorrow if Gonsolin's the same.
Yeah. And, you know, he's definitely – it's not the type of stuff – like, he's not overpowering – he's not an overpowering pitcher, and he's not even like a Max Fried type guy. He's just just a good pitcher, I guess you could say. So that sometimes doesn't translate into the playoffs. I mean, certainly we watched a lot of guys like Gonsolin in our childhood.
Have a lot of problems in the playoffs.
Yeah. Just get, unfortunately. And that's the interesting thing, like with contact pitchers in the playoffs is, you know, sometimes all you got to do is make contact.
Yeah.
And a nervous guy or a bad defense, whatever. So that sometimes doesn't translate, unfortunately.
Well, if I'm a betting man, and I am, I'm definitely taking the Padres in game three here. Right now, the line is Dodgers minus 125, or the money line for the Dodgers is that. I don't know what it is for the Padres. I'll check that out tomorrow afternoon sometime before the game starts, but I'm definitely going to bet Padres money line on this one.
And I want to say Snell's had a bit of a resurgent year or a second half or something.
Second half.
So, and he's a lefty. I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't hate that bet. We'll see.
Should be a fun time.
Yeah, like three games tomorrow. Should be a good time.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.